champ is here!
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing, back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. We are broadcasting live on Patriots.com from 4 to 6 for the next 2 hours. You got Week 10 recap, Week 11 preview, all fantasy football all the time when you're talking about the Fantasy Football Champs. I am Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Anthony Grace, and our producer, Kevin Collins, is taking your calls. And Week 10 ended just a few days ago, Ant. What'd you think?
Bill, look, it's football, man. Another exciting week. We had some good games, a lot of high-scoring games. The primetime games on Sunday and Monday night were just wonderful. Big high-scoring games. That's what we want to see.
I mean, if you were an Eagle fan or a Packers fan, they were great.
Right, damn right. But, yeah, I mean,
not if you're a Panthers or Bears.
No. And Carolina, man, they looked real shaky. Cam Newton just didn't look like himself last night, taking big hits all night long. I mean, for as much crap as we give
–
you know what? For as much crap as we give the Eagles defense, they brought it, you know. So at home this year, the Eagles are winning by more than 2 touchdowns on average per game. So that defense is doing something special for them, that's for sure.
I think the Eagles defense, like, was my highest – score of the week on my fantasy team.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, they had to put up close to 30 points, if not more, depending on what kind of defensive scoring you have.
I think they got me like 45 points.
Yeah, that is.
Man, pick, I mean, six, Sproles, punt return, couple sacks, couple picks, couple fumble recoveries.
I think they
got me like 45 points.
5 turnovers and 9 sacks on Newton, a couple touchdowns. Yeah, man, they just they looked great last night. They came out fired up, that's for sure.
I mean, it's not often when I have to rely on a defense to get me a win, but I'll take it.
Yeah, it's very rare. But one of those weeks where you kind of have a down week and a defense, or sometimes you'll have a kicker go off for 20 points, something like that. Anytime that you have a down week and something special happens, it just makes you feel real good about the season, what's coming. Maybe you have something special in store for a nice playoff run.
So we will recap some of the action, some of the headlines. We'll go through the news and notes from Week 10. We'll also, big week on the waiver wire, as always, some big injuries to go over. Some important players are on buys this week with the Ravens, Cowboys, Jaguars, and Jets all taking the week off. So we'll get to the waiver wire report in just a little bit. Also talk about some of the champs and chumps from Week 10, which is always a fun little segment, kind of look back and recap what went on in the previous week. But, you know, it's really full steam ahead to Week 11. 2 more weeks or 3 more weeks until the playoffs. 1 more week until Josh Gordon gets back in action. We'll update you on some of the Adrian Peterson information. We'll get to all that in a little bit. But, Anthony, I think we have a new segment that you want to do. It's the Topic of Thought. Tuesday, Topic of Thought. That's a lot of, alliteration there, right?
A lot of T's, yeah, a lot of alliteration. Tuesday, Topic of Thought. Look, I figured we could throw something out there. Last week when we had the election day, we thought of a question to ask people out there. So I figured every week maybe we can come up with something on a Tuesday, throw it out to the people, email in, call in, get to us on Twitter with it. Just something fun, people can contribute. We can have a little back and forth and, lighten up the mood a little bit maybe.
All right, so what do you want? What's the question for today?
So, you know, I was thinking about everyone has picks they love, picks they hate when you're doing your regular fantasy draft. So I want to know for everybody out there, what do you think was – I don't want to say it's your best pick, but what was your favorite pick? What kind of pick did you make this year in your fantasy draft that you think is going to be the guy that might push you over the hump to get you in the playoffs, win you a championship? Something like that. It doesn't have to be your first-round pick, obviously. We know who went in the first round. We know who went in the second round. Who do you like that you picked in the fifth round, sixth round, eighth round? Anything like that. Off the waiver wire, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of options out there. So if you email us, call us, anything like that today, just give us a little idea of who you like on your team. Someone that, you know, not everyone thought of and you may snagged at the right time that can help you win.
I know who mine is.
Who you like?
Golden Tate.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Tate.
Uh-huh.
Golden Tate.
Uh-huh.
Golden Tate.
Golden
Tate. Love that guy. Love me some Golden Tate, baby.
Any type of league, especially if you're in a PPR league with Golden Tate, no matter where you picked him up, because obviously you're not taking him in the first 4 or 5 rounds.
Nope.
That guy was a steal for most
late
people
round
out there.
Steal. Love him.
Definitely. Definitely was. I love the pickup.
66 catches, 909 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And Anthony, what happened to all the people that were calling us, emailing us? Oh, I'm worried about Golden Tate. Oh, my God, Calvin Johnson's coming back. I don't know what to do. Megatron is going to get all the targets, and Golden Tate's not going to get anything anymore. What do I do with him? Do I bench him? Do I trade him? Do I drop him? No, you start him because he's a stud. 11 catches for 109 yards. 13 targets with Calvin Johnson back.
That's all he did. Nothing important, really, right? So, yeah, you can't, like we said, Golden Tate, man. Even with Calvin Johnson, we saw him with him this year. We saw him without him. No matter what's going on that field, Golden Tate might be the most dangerous weapon the Lions have right now. And we love Megatron. We love everything about him. But honestly, it's hard to argue against Golden Tate in the Detroit Lions uniform this year.
Who's your favorite pick?
Ooh, man, that is tough. I'll tell you what. I picked up Justin Forsett and Denard Robinson off of waivers, and those two guys have just been smashing it for me this year so far. But, you know, Rashad Jennings, before he got hurt, I got him, I think, in the 7th round in my draft this year. That guy was on pace to do something special and finishes a top 15 back. So if he comes back next week in the same form he was playing in, I'll take a couple weeks off from him, and I really like what I've been seeing out of him this year for me.
You mentioned Justin Forsett, Denard Robinson. Both of those guys were very cheap on DraftKings this week, and I made some
nice coin.
Some nice coin by using
both of
them. All right,
all right. Good, good.
Justin Forsett with the 2 touchdowns. Denard Robinson with the 2 touchdowns. And then you mix in a little Marshawn Lynch, who had 4 TDs.
4
and you're looking
touchdowns.
At eight touchdowns from those 4-3 running backs right there. They helped me win some money this week on DraftKings. We're gonna get into some DraftKings strategy on Thursday, as we do always. But I just want to brag a little bit. Probably my best week ever on DraftKings.
Nice.
I stacked up the right quarterback and wide receiver combinations. I had the right running backs. I used the right defenses, and it was a very profitable week for me. I'm very excited about it. Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson came to play. Mark Sanchez and Jordan Matthews, who I was all over this week because he was cheap, and I figured the connection of them being on the second team kind of together would come through, and that came up in a big way. And then I used Lynch, Forsett, and Denard Robinson all over the place. They were very cheap, great value, and very, very productive this weekend.
Yeah, huge week if you used all those guys. Like you said, Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, man. I'll tell you what, every week it just seems like he's throwing a 60-yard bomb touchdown to Jordy Nelson every single week. It's unbelievable. Same play virtually every week, and it burns every single defense. Unreal. But Aaron Rodgers had a huge week. We got another guy, Peyton Manning, throwing up 5 touchdowns this week. So a huge offensive output from a lot of your superstars. And like I said, Denard Robinson, Justin Forsett, two other guys, waiver wire pickups that contributed big to this week as well.
Jordy Nelson destroys the Bears every time he plays them. Every time he's against Chicago, he kills him. 6 catches, 152 yards, and 2 touchdowns in Week 10, just this past weekend. And then how about Week 4? 10 catches, 108 yards, and another 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, like you said, Jordy Nelson, I don't think there's anything that this guy can't do. He's the top receiver on that squad, obviously. He's a top 3 wide receiver probably come the end of the year in fantasy, if not top 5 for sure. So this guy, every single week in and week out, you look for consistency. Jordy Nelson, he is the definition of consistency for everybody out there in the fantasy world.
We released our Week 11 rankings up on ffchamps.com. Check them out if you're a member. Jordy Nelson's our number one receiver this week. He's ahead of Calvin, ahead of Demarius, ahead of Julio, ahead of them all. Number one against Philadelphia.
Well, it's Philadelphia. Yeah, like you said, I mean, look at Kelvin Benjamin started off slow last night, and then look what he did. He ended up scoring a couple touchdowns as well. So
garbage time counts.
Yeah, right. Garbage time counts where we come from. Either if you're in a sanitation or the fantasy football business, garbage time is always always counts for you. So
speaking of the sanitation business, they didn't pick up my garbage today.
What the hell?
I guess
because
it's Veterans Day. I think we should take a minute to say thank you to all our veterans. Certainly appreciate everything that you guys do.
Definitely
should have said
do.
That at the top of the show. My
we
brother
should've.
Would be very upset with me. But I do want to say thank you to all our men and women in the service military industry.
Definitely. A huge thank you out to all those people. Now, that being said,
no garbage.
These garbage people got to still do their thing, all right? They don't need a day off.
They have a day off.
Yeah.
My garbage is still sitting on my curb since last night.
I'll tell you. You know, let me rant about something for a second. All these little holidays where everybody has off in the world except for me, is it just me that thinks that? Because I don't get off Martin Luther King Day or Flag Day or Canadian Boxing Day. I'm working every single day of the year, basically.
It's,
so What the hell is that all about,
you
man? Know,
you want to complain. I don't get anything either.
Kevin, Kevin's like definitely
July,
has it the worst.
Thanksgiving, Jesus.
Kevin has it the worst out of everybody.
I mean, any job I've ever had, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, Easter Day, those are my 3 days off I've had consistently for the last 10 years of my life, and that's all I'm going to get. But you know what? I guess there's less traffic on the road on days like this, so that's a plus. Let's look on the bright side.
Kevin, who was your favorite pick from your teams this year?
My favorite pick? You mean in terms of like the player I love the most so far?
Yeah.
Probably Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Because I expected big things, but not quite this big. I didn't expect, like, you know, number one overall wide receiver.
Now, who did you take in the first round? Because I'm assuming you got him in the second.
I have him in my keeper league.
Oh, okay.
So I think I actually, so there's 10 teams in the league, and each team gets two keepers. So that's like two rounds right there. But your keeper is like, takes the place of the round that you drafted him in.
Right.
So you can make out really good if you get like the hidden gems kind of.
Right, right.
I think so after all the keepers were declared and we went through and we started drafting, I think I got him in the end of the first round.
Okay. All right.
Is how it worked out.
Hey, so, can't argue with that.
So I ended up with, like, unfortunately, my most disappointing, I think, for me has been Shady because he was my keeper.
Right.
And most people were like, oh, you know, he's going to be a consensus first-round pick, the first pick, rather.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting him with the eighth pick, which I felt was good value because that's where I kept him at. And so I was, like, you know, feeling comfortable about that. And then I had Stafford as, like, a late fourth-round pick who I kept. Who there's decent, you know, he hasn't been great, but he hasn't been a complete bust. He's in a must-start two-quarterback league, he's been fine. But Brown has really picked up where Shady has let me down, I would say.
Well, listen, if anyone's frustrated with LeSean McCoy, I get it. He was your first-round pick, first overall pick, top three pick consensus. The fact remains he's still sixth in the league in rushing.
Yeah.
So you have to keep that in mind.
No, I do.
It's not that bad.
But there's also, I'm looking at it from like an overall point perspective, Bill, and you know, with that offense and how quickly it goes and how many plays they run, and also with Shady being pretty adept at catching the ball, it's a half-point PPR league.
Yeah.
So that last year really tallied up quick, too, with all the receptions he had.
The addition of Darren Sproles is a big factor.
Taking away some of those touches.
Scored last night.
Yeah, I had him as a plug-and-play in my my work league here, and that worked. I had him and Matthews, the kid that went off last night.
Nice.
So I, like you, Bill, just kind of had – I took the horseshoe out of my rear end this week because I had so many guys on bye. And
right.
I just kind of – like, you know, you know how you were just saying you everything you kind of touched turned to gold this week finally?
It was awesome.
That was kind of like me this week with – and you know, going into it thinking, what am I going to do with all these guys on bye? And then kind of just making these abstract gut decisions on who to pick up and play, and they – you know, I get all these points from Sproles for the punt return touchdown. He scores another touchdown. Matthews, like, goes off. There's a couple other guys, too, that I expected absolutely nothing from, you know. So, I had one of those weeks, too.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let us know who your favorite pick was or maybe your favorite pickup was from this year's, so far through the, I guess, week 10 of the NFL season. If your favorite pick. Draft pick, let us know.
Bill,
you know, you'll think back in the summer and in late August or whenever it was, and we'll get to your question as well. But just, let us know what your favorite pick
before
was.
Before we dive into all the good stuff that we have planned for the show today, while we were just kind of talking about leagues and whatever, last week you had a nice little rant on, I think it was like the commissioner and, you know, the commissioner being able to approve trades or like veto trades or, you know, there needs to be voting and that type of thing.
Right.
I wanted to get your take on something that popped up in one of my leagues this week, which
you want to wait until the end of the show, or you want to do it now?
Well, I think it could affect other people too. It's not just like it's a league wide thing. Where how late in your season, Bill, should
the trade deadline?
Yes, the fantasy trade deadline.
You know, every league that I do is different. The league that I'm a commissioner, I actually have to look it up. Let's see here.
But this is something that came up because one never got set in one of my leagues, and I was wondering if there's anybody else out there that had something similar, and then at what point, you know, do you need to set it so that maybe you aren't getting these, you know, last place teams trading to, you know, first place teams for nothing.
Once a team is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, They shouldn't be allowed to trade anymore. My trade deadline is November 21st.
Okay.
But my Dynasty League trade deadline is the same deadline as the NFL because my commissioner's brain dead. But
See, I would go more toward not the exact NFL trade deadline, but like the halfway point of like your fantasy season somewhere, like, because you know what you have at that point, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that was week eight. I think it was week eight, and I just think that's too early, especially in a Dynasty League. I typically go with late November, sometime before, I guess it's week 12.
Before Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Okay. So like maybe that week that wraps up the week before Thanksgiving there.
The main thing, Kev, that you have to keep in mind, anyone that's mathematically eliminated from the playoffs should no longer
be allowed to trade. Yeah,
now,
I agree with that.
They're allowed to pick up players
because
their starting lineup still has an effect on seeding
especially
for the other teams.
And especially if it's a keeper league and you're thinking guys you could potentially stash for next year. That's totally fine.
Right, that too.
That's totally fine. But just in it, I wanted to pick you guys, both of your brains, on what's an appropriate kind of window of time to have that trade deadline.
What do you think the trade deadline should be, Ant?
Yeah, my league, we do it the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. That's the last day you can offer up a trade. But, a lot of us get together, do a little Thanksgiving-type meal, and there's a lot of trade talk, that night going around the table. So makes for a little bit of entertainment, makes it a little fun. But it's definitely got to happen pre-playoffs. I think mid-season's a little early. I agree with you that someone out of the playoffs probably shouldn't be able to trade, but if it's a decent trade, I have no problem with it. I guess it was Russell last week who called in and said something about someone trading, Calvin Johnson for a kicker or something stupid to that point.
Yeah.
Nothing like that can happen. I totally agree. That shouldn't happen. I don't have a problem with someone who's out of the playoffs trading as long as it's a decent trade, as long as they're not trying to stack someone else's team. As long as I'm not seeing collusion, it's your team. I don't care what you do with it. Just don't, try to stack someone's team or make collusion, because I'm not letting it happen. It's not flying when I'm around.
A couple years ago, I had the trade deadline the Friday after Thanksgiving. And I tried to do a last-minute trade. It was when Peyton Hillis, that year that he was going to be on the Madden cover, so that breakout year, I think it was...
That beautiful face mask.
2010? I think it was 2010. Or maybe... Oh, shoot.
Yeah, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago now.
It was either 2008, 2000, one of those years. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I traded Peyton Hillis for Plaxico Burress. After 4 hours after I made the trade, Plaxico shoots himself in the leg.
Oh, man.
So the next year I moved the trade deadline up a week because I never wanted to have that 4-day window where there's 3 games on a Thursday and then 4 or 5 days. Yeah, exactly. Plaque shot himself in the leg. I shot my team in the leg with that trade.
Oh, yeah, that's a killer.
That was just a... That was
roll
brutal,
up.
Man. That was brutal. Speaking of former wide receivers that were dominant in fantasy football, Randy Moss, 30 for 30 tonight on ESPN. I got my DVR set.
You got to set it at a DVR. Anytime Randy Moss talks, even though he's not playing football, it's always an entertainment spectacle, I guess, is the best way to see it. I mean... That guy just always has something to say, and, like you said last week, you miss these guys like him and T.O. and Chad Johnson who celebrated and had fun when they were playing, and I 100% agree. Anytime you can hear Randy Moss talk and say something, and he's a smart, people will give him enough credit, he's not, Mensa smart, but he's a smarter guy than people give him credit for, so I like to hear what he has to say. He's an entertaining guy.
Moss is, outside of the players from my favorite team, Moss is easily in the top three of my all-time favorite NFL players. Easily there. Jamal Charles, when he retires, he'll probably get there too. Darren Sproles will be in my top five, but Randy Moss might be my number one favorite player that didn't play for my favorite team.
Yeah, Darren Sproles needs love, man. When you're smaller than a kicker and you do with the things he does, yeah, you got to give him love all the time. But, man, that watching him run that kickback, it's almost like you can feel him about to run a kickback. You're watching that game last night, and they kick the ball. I'm like, this is just – it's going. It's going to go. And he just up the middle, making people miss. That guy is something fun to watch no matter what.
All right, so if you have a waiver wire question, let us know what kind of league you're in. Let us know your favorite pick or pickup from this year. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email. If you have a question and you're not listening to the show live, you can always hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps, at Bill Enright, at the PPR Monster, at Pats_Radio_Kev. A lot of ways that you can get in touch with us. Now let's dive back into some of the action from week 10, kind of recap some of the headlines here. Start off with that game in London at Tony Romo back in action. A lot of people were a little skeptical about playing Romo in their leagues. I said, if you got him, you got to start him. 246 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's on a bye this week, but for the rest of the season, you don't have to worry about Tony Romo unless something creeps up, you know, aggravates that back injury. But he looked fine on Sunday.
Yeah, beginning of that game, he took a couple hits, looked like he was moving around a little gingerly, so I was kind of like, uh-oh. But, you know, finished the game strong. Like you said, right under 250 for his yardage, a bunch of touchdowns, some nice ones. You know what? Credit to Romo, I guess, for getting fantasy points, but I think most of that has to be because Jacksonville couldn't tackle anyone to save their life. I mean, how many people did Dez Bryant bounce off of on those two touchdown passes that should have had him wrapped up? So, and Tony Romo, though, back, looking good, got a nice schedule coming down the stretch, couple games against the Eagles with a bad secondary, a high-scoring game, probably championship week with the Indianapolis Colts down in Dallas.
Nice.
Got the Chicago Bears, you got the New York Giants on a Sunday night game. So Tony Romo's got a very nice stretch. If you got him and you held on to him, he's going to pay dividends for you coming down the stretch, I really think.
Speaking of being back and looking good, how about Calvin Johnson? Megatron back in action for the first time since week 5. 7 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, and like we said at the beginning of the show, Golden Tate still had 11 catches for 109 yards. So the Detroit Lions with 7-2 leading the NFC North. I would love to see them just keep it up because the Detroit Lions are one of these teams, as we watch every year, anytime they seem to build a little steam and look like they can do something, they always take a little bit of a slide, a step back coming down the stretch in the NFL season. So we'll keep our eye on them, but they're going to be a fun team to watch the rest of the way.
Everyone's favorite team to love to hate, the New York Jets, pulled off an upset over the Pittsburgh Steelers. They won 20-13. Now, logic would tell you, Big Ben coming off back-to-back weeks of 6 touchdowns, the Jets can't stop the pass to save their lives, and all of a sudden, Big Ben and Antonio Brown, 4 turnovers, neither of them had double-digit fantasy points unless you're in a PPR league. Very big disappointment for the Steelers. But our guy, Martavis Bryant, boy, did he come to play.
Yeah, another huge game from Martavis Bryant. 4 catches, 143 yards, had a touchdown on there. But like you said, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, if you had them starting on your fantasy team, like me, you probably didn't do too well this week. So, you know, but what are you going to do? Ben Roethlisberger still threw for 343 yards, threw a touchdown. Those turnovers are going to kill you. If you lose points for picks and fumbles, like most leagues, that's minus 8 points for someone like me. You've got Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown in the mix for you. So a little bit of a speed bump, but they'll bounce back fine next week against Tennessee on a Monday night matchup in Nashville.
How about Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch, beast mode in full
beast
effect.
Mode.
Career high with 4 touchdowns, and he has scored multiple touchdowns back to the last 2 weeks. He's a guy that can carry you into the fantasy playoffs because for somehow, some way, Marshawn Lynch gets stronger as the year goes on. Defenders wear down as the game goes on. And he's just one of those guys that you can't tackle one-on-one.
Yeah, once PED testing starts, you got to test this guy because, like you said, he just gets stronger as the year goes on. I don't know what the hell he does, but Skittles might make you a little bit. Maybe it's a sugar high. I have no idea, but 4 touchdown career high. The first time last week against the Raiders and the week before, or 2 weeks ago against the Raiders and last week against the Giants, is the first time in his career he scored multiple touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, and he scored consecutive touchdowns at least 14 times in his career. So that's a huge feat for someone like Marshawn Lynch.
How about two quarterbacks? Peyton Manning, 5 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, 6 touchdowns. Anthony, you have a great stat here. You said there's been 6 games in 2014 with a quarterback throwing 5 or more touchdown passes, which is just one off the record. We have 6 games remaining. I believe you said it's in 2004 when Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Kerry Collins, Kelly Holcomb, and Dante Culpepper all threw for 5 touchdowns or more. That was in 2004. So 7 quarterbacks did it in 2004. 6 quarterbacks have done it in 2014.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. I mean, obviously, you know, the game is getting more offensive as time goes on. So records like this shouldn't be shocked that they're going to be broken. But the fact that it's been 10 years since the record's been set, and looking back, I don't think there's been a season with more than 4 outside of that 7-game season in 2004. So it's a big feat for these guys to accomplish. And with, like you said, 6 games, 7 games left for some of these It's going to happen. I mean, someone else is going to do it. Odds are it's going to be a Peyton or Rodgers, a Tom Brady type guy, but someone is going to break this record for the NFL this year.
All right, so that was all the good stuff, the good stats from Week 10. Now on to the bad stuff, the injury report. Started off with Carson Palmer. The Cardinals are in first place in the NFC, and they'll be without their starting quarterback for the remainder of the season. Carson Palmer out with a torn ACL just 3 days after he got a $50 million contract extension.
Yeah, it's sad to see. You know what? For Arizona, they were on a great run. They were looking, you know, 8-1, and they were looking like the cream of the crop in the NFC. They were looking real good defense, offense. They could do things everywhere, on the road, at home. Didn't matter. Even without Carson Palmer, they were finding ways to win with Drew Stanton. So it's sad to see Carson Palmer go down, just sign that big contract. And it wasn't really anything, you know, he did. He just kind of must have got his cleat stuck in the turf a little bit, and it was just, he just went down on his own. So sad to see. I would like to see what Arizona could have done coming down the stretch, making a little bit of a run in the NFC West, but it leaves it wide open now for Seattle, who's starting to surge a little bit, and San Francisco getting a big win in New Orleans this past week.
Carson Palmer has gotten two contract extensions throughout his career.
Yeah.
The first one was back when he was on the Bengals. He got like a $110 million contract extension. His first game back since signing that deal, tore his ACL.
Ugh.
Got a contract extension from the Arizona Cardinals on Friday. His first game back since signing that deal, he tore his ACL. Now, I'm not saying there's anything, any kind of shenanigans going on here, obviously.
Yeah.
But for that to happen, that's insane. The chances of that occurring, it's like getting struck by lightning and then hit by a plane all in the same day.
Yeah, it's insane. It's another level of just awkward. I mean, if Carson Palmer's not getting another contract after this, more than likely mid-30s.
Yeah.
But if he does, whoever has the cojones to sign him to an extension, just make sure it's in the offseason so he can't hurt himself. That's all you can do, you know? It's crazy. Carson
Moving
Palmer.
Over to the running backs, Ronnie Hillman's out 2 to 3 weeks with a foot injury. C.J. Anderson looked great filling in for Hillman. Monte Ball also expected back in Week 11. Good thing we told everyone to hang on to Monte Ball. Lamar Miller was very limited with a shoulder injury against the Detroit Lions. Speaking of the Lions, Reggie Bush limited with that ankle injury, aggravated that ankle injury, and that's why we saw so much of Theo Reddick toward the end of the game. Moving over to wide receivers, Brandon Marshall sustained an ankle injury again in that blowout versus the Packers. Marshall still had a good game, but once that he aggravated that ankle injury, he didn't come back into action. What do you think about his Week 11 availability?
Yeah, he had a little problem with the ankle earlier in the year and re-aggravated it in at a time where he really probably shouldn't have been on the field at that point. I mean, you're down 55-7 or whatever it was at the time, so you can't have your superstars on the field at that point. You're not making a comeback. I know you're not giving up in the NFL. I know you can't do it, but by the same token, you have to play smart. You have to keep guys on the bench that could potentially get hurt, and Brandon Marshall just casualty of war. I don't know if he's going to play this week. This is probably going to be the guy we watch the hardest this week in practice coming into Sunday, because he's the biggest name that we have no idea what's going to happen to him coming up for this weekend.
All right, let's jump over to the phone lines for a quick second. 855-728-7500. Rick in Houston is on the line. He's in a 12-team standard league. Rick, who was your favorite pick from this year's draft or your favorite pickup off the waiver wire?
Oh, probably Watkins, I guess. I think I got a 7th or 8th round, I think.
Sammy Watkins, very nice. Okay. What do you got for us today, Rick?
I've got, a question for y'all. I'm about ready to give up on a couple guys on my team, Zach Ertz and Michael Floyd.
Cut them, both of them.
You think so? That's something you know.
I mean, who are you picking up, Rick?
Well, this week people dropped off some tight ends. They actually dropped Jordan Reed. So I'm going to try to pick him up.
Good one.
Drawback is I'm in first place. It's a playoff berth, by the way, so thanks for your help on that.
You got it.
So I may not get him, so I've got also Niles Paul and Colby Fleener.
I would go after Jordan Reed 1, Fleener 2, Niles Paul 3rd, but I would definitely drop Ertz. I don't know what wide receiver you're going to get to replace Mike Floyd, especially now with Drew Stanton at quarterback. He started off so strong, and he looked so good last year. I was one of the guys very high on him this year. I mean, he started off the year with over 200 yards in his first three games this year. So I don't know what happened with Michael Floyd, but it's the Larry Fitz and John Brown show, which I'm fine with, but Michael Floyd's no longer even rosterable in fantasy because you can't trust him.
Exactly. I'll probably just go off the FFPPI, whoever's the highest there, I'll just pick up who's available.
That's always a good idea there, Rick.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right, best of luck to you. Thanks for calling in. Back over to the injury report, some wide receivers to keep an eye on. Allen Hurns of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Devin Hester of the Atlanta Falcons, and then Delanie Walker was knocked out cold. If you want to see the video of Delanie Walker, go over to my Twitter. I sent out a Vine video. Delanie Walker, like 100,000 people watched it. He won one of the best hits of the year. Perfectly clean, perfectly legal. He was knocked out cold.
Yeah, he was out as he was getting hit. I think that was a violent hit, but it was something like you said, totally legal. Nothing wrong with it. Just happened to get hit the perfect way, and so be it. Concussion. So we'll see what happens with Delanie Walker, but odds are he's missing at least 1 week with that concussion.
Again, our question of the day is: who is your favorite pick or pickup from the 2014 season thus far? A couple guys are chiming in on the email. Tim in Baltimore says, my best pick this year would have to be Julian Edelman for $2 in his auction draft. He saved so much money on Edelman, he was able to get Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray, Jamal Charles, Greg Olsen, Tom Brady, and Tony Romo. That's some quality draft picks based on Edelman's cheap price in his auction. Good job there, Tim in Baltimore.
Very nice. Yeah, definitely. I got another email here from German down in Texas. He says, hey, fellas, my favorite pick other than Le'Veon Bell, who I picked up in the fifth round, which is unbelievable value at that point, is Ahmad Bradshaw, who I picked up from the waiver wire in week three. German, waiver wire pickup in Ahmad Bradshaw. They're everywhere. So you can get a great player who can contribute the rest of the way, waiver wire, late round. I love all the emails coming in about this.
Higgins in Seattle, my favorite pick has been DeMarco Murray. He almost took Lacy over Murray. Boy, did that save his season. His least favorite pick was Nick Foles, Reggie Bush, and he says Calvin Johnson in the first round, but I have a feeling that Higgins in Seattle will change his opinion second half of the season with Calvin Johnson looking good.
Yeah, it's really hard to say you don't like a guy because of injury. That's something you can't really predict, so as much as it hurts when you draft a guy like Calvin Johnson and he gets hurt, it really hurts you, but it's not like LeSean McCoy where he's playing poorly and not getting you points and he's still on the field. So understand where you're coming from, Higgins, but it could be a lot worse. At least he got injured and you knew you couldn't play him.
Anthony's new segment, what are we calling this?
What are we going to call it? The Tuesday Topic of Thought?
Tuesday Topic of Thought.
Doesn't have to be a question. We could just throw something out there and see what people do. So look, the rest of the year, we got a couple more, we got 6 more weeks of football and a couple more weeks into the playoffs as the Patriots march along. So we'll get a couple out there, maybe another 8 to 10 this year, and maybe next year something we can roll with and get people more involved out there.
The email's blown up with Tuesday's Topic of Thought.
Mike
in Charlotte chimes in. My favorite drafted player was Philip Rivers in the 13th round. He's a boy, Ike, I'll tell you what, we need to send him a check. He's a glowing example of your commitment to wait on your quarterback.
Damn right.
My waiver wire runner-up is a tie between Martavius Bryant and snagging Josh Gordon in week three after he was dropped. And again, he says, thank you, champs. Ike, big supporter of FF Champs.
Yeah, definitely. Josh Gordon, another guy I have sitting on my bench waiting for him to come in. I couldn't say that because I don't know what I'm getting out of him. Obviously, he should be in fine shape, practicing with the team, should come in there and not miss a beat. So he should be the Josh Gordon we want to see. But again, don't know yet, so I can't do that. But if he pushes me over the hump, gets me another championship, Josh Gordon's going to be my favorite guy, that's for sure.
Ike has a question in a 10-team non-PPR league. Should he drop Owen Daniels, who's on a bye this week? Mikel Rivera, Kyle Rudolph, Kobe Fleener, or Jordan Reed? I'd probably go with Jordan Reed this week.
Yeah, Jordan Reed, nice matchup with Tampa Bay. They're horrible against the pass. But you got a lot of nice Mikel Rivera having a nice hookup with Derek Carr, it looks like. A couple back-to-back weeks where he put up some nice numbers. Kobe Fleener, nice matchup Sunday night with the Patriots, who definitely are going to be another high-scoring game. So Kobe Fleener might find himself in the end zone. Kyle Rudolph, another guy. If we know he's healthy and playing, another good option. I mean, look, Chase Ford's catching touchdowns. So if you got Chase Ford catching touchdowns, you know Kyle Rudolph's coming back in a big way. But right now, out of those four guys, Jordan Reed is definitely your best option. But keep an eye on Kyle Rudolph. I like him a lot.
All right, if you have a waiver wire question for Week 11, stay tuned because we'll have our full free agent pickup report after we get back from this break. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. Bill and Anthony here hanging out for the next hour and a half, taking your waiver wire questions, taking your emails. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email. You can always hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps, at the PPR Monster, at Bill Enright for all your Week 11 waiver wire and lineup questions. Anthony, it's one of the most popular segments of the week, one of the most popular articles on FFChamps.com, the waiver wire, because I think everyone's trying to look for that guy that can help them either win the rest of the way or just win this week. Maybe you're dealing with a bye week problem. The Jets, the Jaguars, the Ravens, the Cowboys all on a bye this week, and then we just went over the injury report. You got some question marks, even with guys that didn't play last week, like an Arian Foster, who was banged up 2 weeks ago, had the bye this past week. So there's still always some question marks, always people to find on the waiver wire, and that's what we like to do with this segment, help out as many people as possible.
Yeah, and you know what? If there's not a question mark, if there's no reason to work the waiver wire, then there's no reason to play fantasy football anymore. So
yeah,
let's jump into it. Let's help these people out, Bill.
All right, quarterbacks, you have to like what you saw from Mark Sanchez on Monday night, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know why you wouldn't. Yeah, like I said, last week he just kind of slipped right in there. Look, Chip Kelly is a coach that is, they call him, you know, anyone can slip into his system. I guess it's true because Mark Sanchez came in and he looked like he had one of the best games of his career. So, I mean, Chip Kelly's making Mark Sanchez look real good. I think Mark Sanchez is going to be just fine in this offense. High scoring, high paced, high octane, high everything, basically. I mean, if they had Le'Veon Bell, they'd be a little higher, but I don't know. Mark Sanchez, great pickup this week.
That took me a second.
Okay, see, you got to slip it in there. A little food for thought.
You know, as we're broadcasting live on the Patriots website, Patriots mobile app, if you're listening on demand, I think it's tough maybe for Pats fans to say, could I really think about using Mark Sanchez in fantasy football? You have to get past his time with the Jets, okay? It was a defensive-minded head coach.
Yep.
He was surrounded by subpar weapons. It's a totally different scenario with him on the Eagles. You have an offensive-minded head coach with Chip Kelly. You have a great string of offensive weapons, whether it's Jeremy Maclin or McCoy or Sproles. The tight ends get involved. Rookie Jordan Matthews is looking good. It's not the Mark Sanchez from the Jets. You have to get over that. It's a new Mark Sanchez, and he's on the Eagles.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of Jordan Matthews, Mark Sanchez threw 59 passes since he came in to replace Nick Foles against Houston a few weeks ago. 19% of his passes are going towards Jordan Matthews, which is the most on the team. And Macklin's got 17, and it's not close after that. So Jordan Matthews, if for some reason he's available on your waiver, or maybe someone wants to give up on him and get rid of him for a little bit of a bigger piece, he could have a very nice run coming down the end here of the 2014 season.
Now, if you just lost Carson Palmer, maybe you're in a 12 or 14 team league, Carson Palmer was your starter, you probably want to look at Drew Stanton. But the Cardinals don't exactly have a really good schedule. They play Detroit, Seattle, Kansas City, and Seattle again with two games between Atlanta and the St. Louis Rams. Instead, you may want to look to a guy like Alex Smith. He plays Seattle in Week 11. That's a tough matchup. But then he's got the Raiders, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and then the Raiders again. So I like Alex Smith as a waiver wire pickup if you're looking for a replacement for Carson Palmer. I also like Mike Vick. He's getting it done with his feet as he has throughout his entire career. And then if you're in a dynasty league, people like Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr, Ryan Mallett, who Patriot fans remember as a former backup of Tom Brady, those are your three dynasty quarterbacks that you'll probably want to get your hands on.
Yeah, Ryan Mallett starting this week, so that'll be interesting to see what we get out of him. And you know, Drew Stanton, like you said, Bill, got a real tough schedule. Two games against Seattle, Kansas City, and Detroit. That's four games out of the remaining, seven games that he's playing a top five team against the quarterback, giving up fantasy points, all giving up 18 or fewer fantasy points to quarterbacks, which is a rough stretch for someone who hasn't shown much to us yet this year.
Let's move over to running backs. Ronnie Hillman banged up for the Denver Broncos. He was saving a lot of people's seasons, but he's going to be out 2 or 3 weeks with a foot injury. C.J. Anderson looked dynamite coming into against the Oakland Raiders. Keep in mind, it was the Raiders. Now, Monte Ball back in action for Week 11. I'm expecting a full-blown running back by committee for the Denver Broncos backfield with Ball and Anderson for week 11.
The odds are you're going to get that committee. They got to work Ball back in. He was the starter. He's coming back off injury. They're going to try to work him back in there. But C.J. Anderson took over very respectably when Ronnie Hillman went down this past week. Like you said, just the Raiders. But you know what? The Denver Broncos, they're a high-octane team. They're a juggernaut on offense. Every team's got to worry about Peyton Manning throwing the ball. So whoever's in the backfield is going to have a nice week for him, I think. And they got a couple games down the stretch that are going to be some high-scoring games. So you got Miami, a team looking to get in the playoffs, some AFC West matchups with San Diego and Kansas City. Always tend to be high-scoring with Peyton Manning. A game against Cincinnati who just gets run all over. So, you know, C.J. Anderson might only be super relevant for the next 2 weeks. But again, look at Ronnie Hillman. If C.J. Anderson comes in, steps up, pulls out, and becomes the go-to guy the next 2 weeks, then he's going to be at the top of the charts until he gets hurt or something bad happens. So C.J. Anderson, I think, should be the top pickup off the waiver wire this week.
You mentioned that the Bengals have been getting run over by running backs. What do you think about the Browns running backs? Should all three of them be on someone's roster? Not necessarily on the same roster, but all three of them need to be on a team, right? Isaiah Crowell, Ben Tate, Terrence West.
Yeah, if you own all three Browns running backs, that's just going to give you more of a headache than anything else because you're right. Every one of these guys should be on a roster. Every week, one of them gets in the end zone. The fun part of it now, I guess, to say fun, is who's it going to be? We never know. And it's tough, but every single one of these guys should definitely be owned because they could be the guy that goes off for you.
Houston, Atlanta, terrible run defenses. And then they play Buffalo, but then they have the Colts, the Bengals again, and Carolina. Beautiful schedule for the Cleveland Brown running backs. But again, the drawback, you said it. You never know which guy is going to be the bell cow for them. It seems to be changing every week. All three of them scored Thursday night against the Bengals, but that's very rare that all three running backs all get into the end zone. Isaiah Crowell did fumble, so that's something to keep an eye on, see if maybe Terrence West and Ben Tate get some more carries in the next couple of weeks. Sticking with the running backs, Bryce Brown of the Buffalo Bills got it done if you're in a PPR league. 6 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. Charles Sims looked, he looked okay for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Jonas Gray is coming back from bye for the New England Patriots, and the Pats don't have that bad of a schedule coming up for the running backs.
Yeah, agree. Jonas Gray, a sneaky pick maybe. Charles Sims, like I said, looking okay. And Bryce Brown scored a touchdown, almost had two, and he got that ball knocked out of his hands on one of the nicest defensive plays I saw this weekend.
Yeah.
Going into the end zone. That was Brent Grimes. That interception he had in Detroit was just unreal.
Sick.
That one-handed just, oh, gorgeous. But, I'm off track. That Brent Grimes, this interception threw me off. But, Bryce Brown,
beautiful.
Nice pickup, especially in a PPR league. Bryce Brown will definitely do some nice things for you.
Some wide receivers that have been looking good. Cecil Shorts of the Jacksonville Jaguars looks healthy. He's a guy that I think can be a big-time playmaker for the Jags. I know they're on a bye this week, but I think he's someone that if you're in a PPR league, him and Allen Robinson are really the only two wide receivers for the Jags. We always know they're in garbage time. Denard Robinson's been playing great at the running back spot, but if you're looking for a wide receiver in a PPR league, look at Cecil Shorts coming off the bye in week, I guess 2 weeks from now, in week 12. Greg Jennings of the Vikings has been playing well with Teddy Bridgewater. Kenny Stills, high explosive offense with the New Orleans Saints. Preston Parker kind of taking on that wide receiver three role for the New York Giants. But I want to talk about a guy, rookie for the Arizona Cardinals, John Brown. He's fast. He's explosive. We nailed the Martavius Bryant pick about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The next guy up, I think, is going to be John Brown.
Yeah, and this is a guy watching preseason I really thought could make a little bit of noise potentially this year, especially in deeper leagues. He's their speed guy down in Arizona. He's got the wheels, Larry Fitzgerald, again, Michael Floyd having a down year, and that's contributed to John Brown having such a good year for a rookie. Look, rookie wide receivers this year are just going off. John Brown, though, he's got 5 touchdowns already this year. He's got several games over double digits, a couple right near that 20-point mark, 100-yard receiving game, at least 2 catches in every single game. He's got targets every single game, at least 4 in every game, but averaging about 7. So John Brown, if he's on your waiver wire, he's got to be one of those guys that you want to go out there and snatch up real fast as well.
And then, of course, Jordan Matthews, the rookie for the Philadelphia Eagles. Anthony, repeat that stat about Mark Sanchez's targets.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez this year, since he came in for Nick Foles in Houston, has thrown the ball 59 times, and 19% of those throws go into Jordan Matthews right now. Macklin's got 17%. No one else is even close. So Jordan Matthews, by far, Mark Sanchez's favorite target. And it's one of those things. Backup quarterback working with a rookie or a third wide receiver on a team. Usually they have the best hookup when a backup comes in, and I can't see this hookup stopping. I mean, he just looked unbelievable on Monday night last night.
The thing that I like about Jordan Matthews is, and this is nothing, you know, this is not a crazy theory, but I do believe it has something to do with their chemistry. Think about it. Riley Cooper and Jeremy Maclin are the guys that were getting practice reps with Nick Foles. Jordan right. Matthews was getting practice reps with Mark Sanchez, the backup. So it makes sense for Jordan Matthews to come in as the wide receiver three, and Sanchez to come now in as the starting quarterback, and him, Sanchez and Matthews, having the most chemistry.
Yeah, 100%. And anytime you see this, not just because, you know, it's a Chip Kelly offense or it's a high-octane offense, any offense, anytime you see a backup quarterback come in, I mean, obviously, if you have the stud on the team, you feel good about the stud wide receiver. But outside of that, if there's an iffy number two, you know damn well the number three guy is going to more than likely step up and do something special with that backup quarterback coming in.
All right, let's move over to tight ends because I think this is one of the most frustrating years for any tight end unless you have, like, Julius Thomas, Gronk, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates. It's a tough Greg Olsen. It's a tough year for the position. There's not a lot of consistency outside that top five or six. I think if you want to go with the hot hands, you have to look at a guy like Mikel Rivera for the Oakland Raiders, Charles Clay for the Miami Dolphins getting a lot of red zone looks. Jason Morrow for the Jets has been getting into the end zone. And then you mentioned Kyle Rudolph coming back from injury for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see what he can do coming back from, what was it? Not his elbow. That was Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, sports hernia.
Sports hernia. There you go. It's groin.
Yeah, so I know he's practicing with the team. He's doing all his running. I think Kyle Rudolph's going to come back this week. Maybe doesn't contribute as much as we'd like, but he's going to have a big hand on what the Vikings offense does the rest of the way. But Mikel Rivera out in Oakland with Derek Carr, very nice hookup. I mean, the last three games, at least six receptions per game, at least eight targets per game. Yeah. He's had one down game with 38 yards, but other than that, the other two games, 60 yards plus, and he scored three touchdowns in that span. So if you're in a PPR league, that's double digits every single week. If not, that's at least 8 points every week.
All right, so if you have a waiver wire question for Week 11, 855-728-7500 is the phone number. webradio@patriots.com is the email. And I think we got some emails from Kevin earlier in the day. I'm trying to bring them up now. The first one was from Leon. He says, need some help this week. Must win situation. He has the number one waiver wire option in a PPR league. Should he pick up C.J. Anderson and start him over Terrence West, Drake Bell, or Cecil Shorts? Cecil Shorts on a bye, so. Oh, pick up Cecil Shorts and start him. Well, you're not going to start Cecil Shorts this week, right? Bye.
They are, but he's looking to pick him up, it looks like, for Antonio Brown next week when Antonio Brown is on a bye. I think if you have the ability to pick up C.J. Anderson, I just think he's got to be the guy you pick up right now.
Has to be. If you have the number one pick, it should be C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, and you know he's getting at least 2 weeks of work, which, you know, perfect for these last two bye weeks. He can fill in. Looking at the roster he's got here, LeSean McCoy, obviously not playing as well as he should, but outside of that, his running back situation is a little bit iffy. Joy Bell's been injured this year. Terrence West, like we said, the Browns backfield, we don't know what the hell's going on there week to week. We just know someone's going to get in the end zone. C.J. Anderson's got to be your first pickup this week.
All right, the next email is from the Space Ranger. He has Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. Would you drop either one of those quarterbacks for RG3 or Ryan Tannehill?
You know what? I'm not dropping Russell Wilson. I just like what he does. If anybody can have a huge game out of these quarterbacks, I think it's him. Dropping Cam Newton right now, I'm not against. I just don't like what I'm seeing out of him. He doesn't look, like I said, last night just didn't look 100%. A couple big hits, and he's a little bit off his game. So I'm okay dropping Newton. I would pick up RG3 over Tannehill just based on the schedule he's got. A nice schedule coming down the stretch. Looked good in Minnesota a few weeks ago coming off the injury. Probably looked the best that we've seen him since his rookie year. So if we get any glimpse of rookie RG3 down the stretch, that's a huge pickup for somebody.
I agree. I think rookie RG3 would be great.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's that player anymore.
I agree. I don't know yet. We have no idea, but we got to see what he does down the stretch. But that Minnesota game, he just looked better in that game than he did the first couple games this year and coming down the stretch last year. So I'll have faith in RG3. Not 100% sure we're getting out of him, but anytime someone has the ability to take off and run like he can, score touchdowns like that, like Newton used to do, I'm okay with that for a quarterback.
Outside of Week 11, Tannehill has a great schedule. It just happens to all be on the road, which can sometimes be tough. It's at Denver, great matchup in terms of pass defense. At the Jets, great matchup. Then he plays Baltimore, and then he plays the Patriots. So in terms of quarterback schedules, Tannehill has one of the easiest.
Yeah, he does have a nice schedule, but that the New England game, always tough. You know, anytime you have a divisional matchup coming down the wire, getting into the playoffs, always a tough situation. Miami's going to scrap till the end, so you should, if you pick up a Ryan Tannehill, if anybody picks him up, you're going to be able to use him till the end because that team's going to be scrapping and fighting to get in the playoffs.
Space Rangers, second question. He has Davante Adams, who he can drop and pick up Rashad Jennings, Fred Jackson, Terrence West, or Theo Riddick. Who would you go after?
Ooh, yeah, if Rashad Jennings is out there, he's the guy I'd be picking up first.
Yeah.
Davante.
And then Fred Jackson.
Yeah, Fred Jackson second, definitely. Terrence West, probably number three. I mean, there's some options out here on this waiver wire from what I'm looking at. So I like that, but got to go Jennings, Jackson, Terrence West as the three running backs I would go in that order.
A couple more emails to get to here. Andrew from Cali. Hey, guys, I had Michael Rivera the last 3 weeks. Is it Michael or Michael?
I call him Michael. I say Michael usually, but it's definitely spelled a lot different. So Michael. Either way, we know what we're talking about.
M. Rivera, the last 3 weeks, and he's been performing in a PPR. Do I keep him this week or go out and add a Kyle Rudolph, Jordan Cameron, who hasn't been practicing due to a concussion, Jared Cook, or Charles Clay? You know, do you trust Rivera over guys that are on good offenses like a Charles Clay with the Dolphins or big potential with Kyle Rudolph? I mean, I'm ruling out Jordan Cameron only because of the concussion. I know I'm ruling out Jared Cook, even though he had a good game against the Cardinals. All tight ends have good games against the Cardinals.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Rivera comes in as my number 16 tight end this week. I have Clay two spots ahead of him. I might go with Clay.
Yeah, I do. I do like Clay a lot. Clay seems to be clicking after he had that rough start of the first 5-6 weeks of the season, whatever it was. He seems to be clicking now, Charles Clay. So I do like Charles Clay a little more. I'm okay picking up Charles Clay again. I like Kyle Rudolph. We loved him starting at the beginning of this year, and there's a lot of things to like about him. But again, we just haven't seen it yet, which scares me a little bit. So I wouldn't rush out to pick up Kyle Rudolph just yet, unless you got an extra bench spot. So when you can give up to have him on your bench, totally okay. But you can't pick him up to be your starter this week. You just don't know. But Charles Clay, I think, would be a huge pickup this week. Thursday night game, something we don't like, but. The rest of the way, Charles Clay is a huge, huge piece.
Andrew also wants to know, San Diego defense or Pittsburgh defense? Now, this one's tough because they're both playing really crappy offenses. The Chargers play the Raiders. Pittsburgh Steelers play the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Steelers are on a bye in Week 12. I think that gives the edge to San Diego because the San Diego Chargers just had their bye. They play the Raiders, the Rams, the Ravens. I'd go with the Chargers. This way you have a good, solid defense. You don't have to worry about the same problem next week when the Steelers are on a bye.
Yeah, anytime you can choose a defense, I know a lot of people, and probably Andrew out in Cali is doing this, just streaming defenses every week. Yeah. Totally okay. I mean, again, you got two defenses this week that have good matchups. You got Monday night for Pittsburgh against a rookie who hasn't had the spotlight like that. Could force a bunch of turnovers, but anytime you have a chance to pick up a defense that you know, if for some reason you're looking ahead and the defense you like Week 12 isn't around, at least you know San Diego's got a couple nice matchups coming up, so you're definitely safer going with San Diego for this week and potentially the rest of the way.
Am I allowed to do, like, dumbest question of the day? Is that picking on people?
Yeah, but it's okay. Let's go for it.
Some guy on Twitter. How about if I don't say his name?
Okay, that's nice then.
Should I drop Monte Ball or Ryan Matthews to pick up Bishop Sankey? Now, Ryan Matthews is finally – you hold on to Ryan Matthews since week 5 or week 6, whenever he went down with the MCL injury. I guess it was earlier than that, week 4 maybe. You hold on to Monte Ball. Both of them are finally coming back this week, and you want to drop him for Bishop Sankey? Are you nuts?
Yeah, you can't do that. Come on, man. You're better than that. You're
That's
better.
Not how
you
this
have to
works.
Be better than
that. His other question from Twitter, should I drop Reggie Wayne and pick up Kenny Britt? He's got to be busting chops, right?
Yeah. If this is not chop busting, you should not be playing fantasy football at all, whoever you are. And you know who you are.
Hit me up on Twitter. He hit me up at FFChamps, Jose. I'm not going to say his whole name.
All right, well.
I'm not going to say his whole name, but his first name is Jose.
You know who you are.
No way, Jose!
No.
More emails, more of your phone calls. We got to take a quick break. More Fantasy Football Champs. A whole nother hour of Week 11 strategy coming up right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is how you get in touch with us on email. We're answering your Week 11 waiver wire questions. Also, get into some Week 11 strategy for your starting lineups as well. Anthony, we got to get back to the emails here because we're getting a lot of emails, as always. Tom C. chimes in. Remember, we asked everyone their best or favorite picks from this year. Tom says Ahmad Bradshaw pick up off the waiver wires.
Definitely. Like I said, anytime you can grab someone off the waiver wires that you feel comfortable using virtually on a weekly basis, I think that's the best thing. That's like getting a pickup in the 12th, 13th, 14th round, depending on how many rounds your league drafts.
Bradshaw has 8 touchdowns this year, 421 yards on the ground, almost 300 yards through the air, 35 receptions. He's on pace, crazy, he's on pace for 6th overall fantasy points. He's on pace for 11 receiving touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen. He's on pace
for
60 catches, 520 yards is certainly in his wheelhouse, though.
Definitely, yeah. I started working up a little stardom sit-em, and Bradshaw's one of my favorites. And I got a couple of fun facts for people out there on Thursday and this weekend.
Nice.
So stay tuned about Ahmad Bradshaw and the cool things he might accomplish this year.
Tom also says, how could his worst pick is LeSean McCoy? How could he be 6th in the league, as you mentioned, in anything? His yards per carry is 43rd. Rushing touchdowns, he's tied for 30th. Yards per game, he's 9th. Receiving touchdowns, I don't know. The only reason he has 71 yards per game, 6th, is he's on the team that puts up with him. He's just Trent Richardson on Philadelphia. I can't agree with that. How are you going to argue? Listen, you can argue with my opinion all you want, but a stat is a fact.
Yep.
He's 6th in the league in rushing. Don't argue with me on this one. I'm looking at the stats. DeMarco Murray has 1,200 yards. Arian Foster has 822. Le'Veon Bell, 747 like the jet or the plane. Justin Forsett, 721. Marshawn Lynch, 689. That's 5. Number 6 is LeSean McCoy, 641. It's right there in front of me.
Yeah.
He's averaging 71 yards per game. He has 641 rushing yards. That's 6th best in the NFL right now. I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah, and look, you got to be disappointed. You were expecting number one production from LeSean McCoy.
Right.
All right? You're expecting basically what DeMarco Murray is doing now out of LeSean McCoy. Not happening. Look, it sucks. If you drafted him, you got to find a way to work around it. It's the challenge of fantasy football. If you have the number one pick and you're guaranteed a guy that's going to put up 30 points a week, then what's the fun in it? If you can't work a roster around him, then why the hell are you playing? There's no point to it. Anybody, if you draft number one or number 14, doesn't matter. Anybody can win, and that's the best thing about it. And look, LeSean McCoy, like you said, he's playing better than people are giving him credit for. He had those two stinker games in the middle of the season, Washington and San Francisco, where he put up 1 and 2 points, right?
Yeah.
Outside of that, he's put up over 110 total yards the first week, 79 yards and a touchdown the next week, and the last 5 weeks, every single week, 80-plus rushing yards, 200-yard games, and or a touchdown in every single game. So as crappy as it feels like he is playing, it's really not as bad as we're making it seem.
I think people are just looking at DeMarco Murray and saying, oh, well, he should have been the number one pick, and he has 1,200 yards, and he's scoring all these touchdowns, and he's going to be the next 2,000-yard rusher, and that's what I want LeSean McCoy to be doing. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. And by the way, DeMarco Murray is not going to be the number one pick next year. If you're an FF Champ subscriber, he will not, I promise you, he will not be our number one running back. I won't do that.
Yeah, and you know what? If he makes it through this season, hits 2,000 yards, good for him, man, because it's a huge accomplishment, it's great, and it's something historic in the NFL, not just the fantasy world, it's historic in the NFL. So, you know, if it's not a guy on a team you hate, you want to see something crazy like that happen. You'd love to see an undefeated season or something wild happen, but you know what? DeMarco Murray, if he hits 2,000 yards, people are going to draft a number one, not the smartest thing you could do. So he's going to be a top five pick, understandably, but he's not going to be the number one guy, no matter how. If he finished with 3,000 yards, he ain't number one next year. Just not happening.
Josh in Virginia says, what's happening, champs? And Kevin, he is in an 8-team league and was wondering if he should drop Jeremy Hill and go after Martavius Bryant, Anquan Boldin, or Mike Evans.
Ooh, let's see. It says he's got Geo. So having Geo, I don't think you can do that. I mean, I know Hill had a pretty horrific game on Thursday. Definitely cost me a win this week too. What I was expecting out of him. So it's tough in that regard, but you can't drop him if you have Geo, because let's say, look, Geo, if they had a full week between games and it wasn't Sunday to Thursday, Geo probably could have played the following Sunday. He should be back this next coming week, so don't panic on him. But again, if you have him, and let's say this coming week he's practicing and looks like he's going to play, and Sunday at 12:30, something happens, Geo's not playing. Well, if you don't have Jeremy Hill there, you're between a rock and a hard place for sure, so you can't give up a handcuff, especially someone as valuable as Jeremy Hill right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. He'll look good. The Bengals game versus the Browns on Thursday night was just terrible from Cincinnati's standpoint.
Andy Dalton just killed everybody, and if you can't get a pass going, you know, you try to establish a run, Hill had the most yards out of anybody, and he almost surpassed Andy Dalton's passing yards with 55 rushing yards. So let's put things in perspective. When you're getting your asses handed to you, odds are you're going to have to throw the ball, and that's what they went to. And, you know, Jeremy Hill's just not a pass-catching specialist like Geo or Rex Burkhead, whoever's number three on that roster right now.
Yeah, I would keep Jeremy Hill just for the sake, since you have Gio Bernard. Good point.
Definitely. Man. Yeah.
James is up next. He's in the 12-team standard league. Hey guys, I have tight end Delanie Walker, but should I pick up Jordan Reed, Jordan Cameron, or Colby Fleener for this week? And who should I stay with long term? Well, I don't think Delanie Walker's playing this week. I mean, I'm assuming he has a concussion, right?
Yeah. Well, when you're unconscious before you hit the ground, odds are it's not looking good. So, yeah, he's probably not playing. But, you know, similar question we had a couple times today already, and Jordan Reed just looks to be the guy that if you want to trust somebody out of this list long term, he's the number one on the team when he's playing. Colby Fleener is on a better offense, but he's not the first look. He's not the second look. He's not the third look. He's probably the fourth look there at best. So Jordan Reed's a guy that, you know, DeSean Jackson's your deep threat. Jordan Reed's probably the second guy behind Pierre Garçon that you're looking for in a short yardage situation coming across the middle. And Jordan Reed's got to be the guy. He's the number one.
And for defense, I have the Chiefs defense. Do you think I should put up the Saints, Browns, Colts, Chargers, Eagles for this week? And who should I stay with long term? Now, this is really a two-part question because, one, I love the Chargers defense this weekend against the Raiders, right? I think
that's
an obvious choice.
Given.
But I don't like the Chargers because they have to play the Patriots, the Broncos, and the 49ers in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, three teams that are going to be scoring points on them for sure. No doubt about it.
So great matchups the next 2 weeks with the Raiders and the Browns. Or excuse me, the Raiders and the Rams. But then you got the Patriots and the Broncos, two of the best offenses in the league. I don't like them during those weeks.
Yeah, I totally don't blame you for that. Now, if the Philadelphia Eagles are on your waiver wire, I don't see how you don't pick them up. I mean, they're scoring points every week via touchdown, via sacks, via turning the ball over. And outside this game coming up in Green Bay this Sunday, they got a very nice schedule coming down the stretch too. Yep. I mean, you got Dallas twice who can score points, but there's no guarantee with them like there is with a Green Bay or a Denver. You got Tennessee with a rookie quarterback, couple games versus Dallas, Seattle in Philadelphia, and we know how good they are at home this year.
Yep.
Washington Redskins. So you got teams that are going to commit turnovers and do some dumb things, and you know, if you have a chance that virtually a team can score a touchdown every week almost on either defense or special teams like the Eagles can do with Darren Sproles, you got to take a chance on someone like that.
And James' final thought, he says, just wondering, a week ago you guys were going to talk about your fantasy team, but never did. How are you guys doing in fantasy? We did talk about our fantasy teams. Kevin said that he was undefeated, right, Kev? Kevin, are you there? Kev?
Are you there?
Oh, yeah. Right? Didn't we talk about your team was undefeated? Anthony talked about his team that he was the commissioner. I talked about my dynasty team. We talked about our teams last week.
Yeah, we
James,
did.
You got to pay attention, bud. We always talk about what we say we're going to hit, unless we don't have enough time.
Yeah, I mean, if you want us to talk about our stuff more, I mean, we could do it because we like bragging about how good we are, but, you know.
That could be boring.
That's boring radio for everybody else, yeah.
We'd rather help out your squads. Edwin from Las Vegas is up next on the email. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and happy belated birthday to our buddy Kevin. Kev, how was your birthday weekend?
It was great. I had a nice, relaxing weekend, watched some football.
Now, do you, I guess because the Patriots had a bye, you got a full slate of games on Sunday.
Yeah, no, it was great. We had the Revs game on Sunday, too, so I kept busy.
Oh, so you didn't get to get a full slate of games.
I watched most of them.
Did the Revs win?
They did. They won. They're in the semifinals now.
Now, what does this mean? Tell me, explain this to me.
There's like four teams left now. New York.
I understand the semis, but.
The Revs, Seattle, and LA.
Is it a one and out?
No, it's a two-game series. You play one in each building, and it's like played like one long game. So it's like combined goals from both games. Yeah, it's terrible.
That is so weird.
It's painful.
Soccer.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's go back to fantasy, please.
Wait. It's not a best of three. It's a best of two.
Yeah. You play one game in each place, and then you add up all the goals from both games, and then you decide the winner.
I mean, that's. I'm not going to knock it. That's very unique.
It's definitely different.
It's different. Yeah, it's different. It's not. It's something that we're not used to. So. I guess that's interesting.
Yeah, if you watch soccer at all, I mean, I'll watch a little European soccer, a little Premier League. That's always entertaining. I mean, I'm not a big MLS guy, but it's cool how they do it. Yeah, a little home and home and away goals, I believe, are the tiebreaker in case something crazy happens. So it's a little different. It gives everybody a chance. Even if you're down 4-0 in the first game, still can come back and win. So it's different. Not a full 7-game series because that can go on a little too long. So I don't know. It's all right, but could be better, could be worse.
So after wishing Kevin a belated happy birthday, he goes on to say, even though you're behind the scenes, you're definitely appreciated, bud. And so good thoughts for our friend Kevin. Edwin's favorite pickup of the year was Mark Ingram. That's a quality one.
Yeah, Mark Ingram is putting in work this year, so look what I'm seeing out of him.
Now Edwin's question, should he add Odell Beckham or Jordan Matthews, possibly both?
I would say possibly both if you can. Why wouldn't you? Odell Beckham, man, this guy is looking like he's playing extremely well. I could just imagine what would have happened with the Giants and Odell himself if he was able to play this whole season. He'd be something special. So if you can grab them both, I wouldn't be opposed to it at all.
Problem is his receivers are loaded. Brandon Marshall, Randall Cobb, Julian Edelman, Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon LaFell, Mike Evans.
Yeah, it's
hard. You probably don't need both Patriot receivers.
Yeah, and Brandon LaFell is more of the boomer bust type guy. I feel like Julian Edelman is a little more consistent. Now, not being in a PPR league, how valuable is he? That's iffy, but it's still, even in a standard league, a guy you can't drop just because he's so dangerous when he does get the ball in his hands.
Right. Yeah, I don't. So let's pick one here, Odell Beckham or Jordan Matthews. I guess Beckham gets more targets.
Yeah, Beckham's been doing a little bit longer consistently for the last couple of weeks, and Matthews has had a nice game and a half with Sanchez. Now, like we said, we think it'll continue for Matthews. Don't know 100%. Could slow down, get the running game going a little bit more. We don't know. But I do know I've seen a little more out of Odell Beckham, getting a lot of targets, by far the top target on that team. Jordan Matthews, even with Sanchez, he's probably looking at Macklin first, then maybe Matthews, but if not, probably Shady or Darren Sproles coming out of the backfield. So Odell Beckham is the top target on that team. He's got to be the first guy you go after.
Next question is from Richard, who says, sorry in advance for a super long question. And then he tells me to respond on Twitter, which doesn't make a lot of sense because Twitter,
you can't put a one-word message, yeah.
Yeah, you're limited to 140 characters. 16-team PPR league, 12-man roster. He's 2-8. Need to help salvage some of my money side bets. I don't know what's going on here. Listen, if he's 2-8, I mean he's not making the playoffs. Especially
odds
in a 16.
Yeah.
In a 16-team league, it's tough, man. You have a couple bad weeks, it's tough.
Yeah.
Big Ben, Carson Palmer, he's going to drop him. Lamar Miller, Brandon Oliver, Trey Mason, Dez Bryant, Keenan Allen, Reuben Randle, Michael Floyd, Travis Kelce. He wants to drop Carson Palmer, Michael Floyd, and Kelce. And he's available are C.J. Anderson, Roy Helu, Jonas Gray, Devontae Freeman, Leon Washington. I mean, that's a joke that Leon Washington scored this week, and that guy's still in the league, right? That's just a joke.
Leon Washington. Yeah, I forgot he was playing until I saw that. So, yeah, Leon Washington's not a guy you're going to mess. C.J. Anderson, definitely. Carson Palmer's out for the year. C.J. Anderson should be the first guy you're trying to pick up for Carson Palmer, no doubt about it.
And then Jordan Matthews, Malcolm Floyd, John Brown, Jarvis Landry, Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, again, I think John
Jordan
Brown.
Matthews.
Or John, yeah,
or
Jordan
John
Matthews.
Brown,
or, yeah. It's a toss-up between those two rookie wide receivers. I think Matthews can be a little more consistent because I like his quarterback a little bit more, Sanchez over Stanton. But John Brown's a close second, deep threat. All it takes is one pass, an 80-yard touchdown, no matter what league you play, and is a whole lot of points on one play. So I like both those guys, but Matthews a little bit more.
And then he can look to improve his tight end spot by going with Jordan Reed over Travis Kelce.
I like Travis Kelce. I still like him. I know he's had some down weeks here and there, but overall, still the one guy that the Kansas City Chiefs can throw the ball to. I mean, their wide receivers are just garbage. So Kelce.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say Travis Kelce just is their best passing option.
Their wide receivers have not scored a touchdown this year.
Yeah, still have not caught a touchdown. That
not
is
one.
Unbelievable.
Junior Hemingway, Dwayne Bowe, Donnie Avery, none of the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers have scored a touchdown this year.
Yeah, and you know what? It's going to happen next year in the draft. Andy Reid's picking an offensive lineman. So it's not going to help them at all in the wide receiver position. Now, there's going to be a couple interesting things with the wide receivers this year. If Jeremy Maclin's on a one-year deal, he's going to command a lot of money with the year he's having.
Yeah.
You got Dez Bryant that's going to be out there. Don't know if the Cowboys are going to re-sign him. If they have the cap space, they're always in a horrible mess with their money situation. So there's going to be some big-name receivers out there. If Kansas City goes after one of these guys, it's a nice team with Jamaal Charles, a decent receiver, Travis Kelce, Alex Smith is serviceable. That defense plays well when they're fully healthy. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, this year, not one touchdown catch in 10 weeks. Unbelievable.
I mean, and Alex Smith is still serviceable in fantasy because he does it with his, you know, he gets it done in rushing. He'll get 30, 40 rushing yards a game. And he does it also to Jamaal Charles. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah, you got Jamaal Charles, you got Nile Davis when Jamaal Charles goes down, you got two capable running backs that they can throw the ball to and can score touchdowns for you. So, like I said, Travis Kelce is their one passing weapon, not in the backfield. I can't see dropping him if you own him.
More of your emails, webradio at patriots.com, and phone calls, 855-728-7500, coming right up. But first, we got to take a break. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs on patriots.com radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York,
And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
'Wanna be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. It is week 11 in the NFL. You got a waiver wire question, you have a lineup question, send it in, call in, tweet us. We do have some emails to get to, Anthony. Joey G is up next. He says, thank you guys, as well as Aaron Rodgers and Kelvin Benjamin, for leading me to a victory. He's 9-1, non-PPR league. Mm-hmm. His favorite guy that he drafted this year is Kelvin Benjamin, round 10. That's some good value.
Yeah, you got to love Kelvin Benjamin, playing well for everybody. PPR, non-PPR, don't matter. My man gets in the end zone, so perfect.
He was a big benefactor of some garbage time this past weekend.
Yeah,
or
definitely.
Monday night.
Yeah, he definitely was. A couple touchdowns, and that's all it needs, man. A couple touchdowns, always a bonus, especially when you're getting spanked on.
43 catches, 659 yards, and 7 touchdowns for Kelvin Benjamin this year, the rookie out of Florida State. Since Joey's 9-1, he's really concerned about some defenses. He's focusing on the playoffs, weeks 15 and week 16. Which is the best defense for week 15, Baltimore versus Jacksonville, or the Raiders, the Chiefs versus the Raiders? I'm going to go with Baltimore on this one.
Yeah, I got to stick with Baltimore too. I mean, as well as Blake Bortles has looked at certain times this year, as many games as Jacksonville's kind of hung around a little bit in, he still turns the ball over a couple times a game. So, yeah, he might throw for 330 and 3 touchdowns, but he's going to turn the ball over at least 2-3 times too. So, turnovers are the biggest thing for a defense outside of touchdowns. Touchdowns are way too unpredictable, but turnovers we can kind of pinpoint a little bit. And I love the Baltimore defense against Jacksonville in week 15.
Yeah, I agree, especially since KC and Oakland is a divisional game. So I'd rather go with Baltimore.
Divisional games, you never know what could happen, ever. So
he has Aaron Rodgers and Rob Gronkowski on his team. Both of them are past their bye weeks. Both of them, barring any injury, are top three at their position. Rank these waiver wire order, these players in order, and would you drop would you drop Cam Newton and Kelsey to get any one of these guys? You got our boy C.J. Anderson, Isaiah Crowell, Jonathan Stewart, or Matt Asiata. Rank them in order real quick.
Yeah, I'm dropping Cam Newton, and I'm going C.J. Anderson. I'm going to go Asiata, too, just because he's the guy that's getting the end zone for them. And then Crowell, and then, you know, I might flip Stewart ahead of Crowell just because we don't know we're going to have the Browns backfield. But I go Anderson, Asiata, Stewart, Crowell.
I'm gonna disagree with you here. I'm going to go with Anderson, Crowell, Stewart, Asiata. And I guess
okay.
Because here's the thing, and maybe we should talk about this for a little bit, the Adrian Peterson situation.
Yeah.
I think what's happening now is the NFL and the NFLPA are going back and forth. From what I hear, Peterson is still in flux with when he's going to return. It's not going to be this week. It's not going to be week 11. The NFL has to make a decision by November 22nd. And then by that time, he'll be in action for week 12. So if he gets reinstated, the decision by the NFL is going to happen on November 22nd. Now, the reason why this is taking so long, and Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk has pointed out, the collective bargaining agreement, any kind of grievance must be filed within 7 days. And the hearing must happen within 7 days of the grievance being filed. So the case is going to happen on November 17th, the hearing, which is 7 days of when Peterson sent the NFL or the NFLPA sent the letter on behalf of Adrian Peterson to the league offices. So 7 days from when it happened, November 17th, that's when the case is going to happen. And then within that time frame, I guess it's 5 days, they need to make a decision. So the latest we're going to hear about Adrian Peterson is November 22nd. That's why I don't like Matt Asiata. I know he scored 3 touchdowns last week. I still like Jerick McKinnon more than him. I think Adrian Peterson, we said it last week, Ant, we believe Adrian Peterson is going to play again this year. We don't know when it's going to happen. Unprecedented situation. This whole Roger Goodell exempt list is a mystery. No one really knows how it works.
Right.
But
yeah,
we do know that there will be a decision by November 22nd.
Definitely. 100% right. I totally agree where you're coming from. I just don't. If Adrian Peterson does take 2 more weeks to get in there, it's time for Asiata to potentially score touchdowns again. This is just a pickup. I feel like you're not – it's a oh-crap pickup. You know what I mean? Like, if everything goes horribly wrong and 3 guys get injured in practice 1 week, like, you need a little help there. It's not a guy you're ever going to really play unless need be. But until Adrian Peterson is officially reinstated and back on the field, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm okay – holding him for now. But again, if you don't get C.J. Anderson, none of these guys are really worth going out there and giving things up for at that point.
I got to be honest. I don't know how this team's 9-1. He's got Aaron Rodgers, which is great. He drafted Adrian Peterson, which is people are complaining about LeSean McCoy. Drafted him the first overall pick. What about if you drafted Adrian Peterson with the second overall pick? I mean, put things in perspective here. Then he's got Rashad Jennings, who, Anthony, you mentioned, looked like he was going to do something special this year, and then he got hurt. He's expected back this week for the Giants. He has the backup, Andre Williams. He hasn't done a whole lot. Chris Ivory's been mediocre, been solid, I guess. Jeremy Hill, Trey Mason. I don't know how he's winning. He's got Emmanuel Sanders, Alshon Jeffrey, Kelvin Benjamin, and Gronk. Yeah. I guess the wide receivers and Rodgers are carrying him.
Rodgers having a great year. Emmanuel Sanders, even though it's a non-PPR league, now that he's actually finding the end zone these last couple weeks, is a lot more valuable. Kelvin Benjamin, like we said, find the end zone virtually every single week. Alshon Jeffrey's been a little bit of a disappointment. So if Alshon Jeffrey turns it around, this team could be a lot better, that's for sure.
Next email is from, who is this guy? Chris. Good afternoon, Anthony and Bill. I'm looking to get some Week 11 advice. With the Carson Palmer ACL injury, I need to pick up a quarterback off the waiver wire. I'm surprised we're not getting more of these today. I guess, I guess Carson Palmer, I used him this week. I had my quarterback was on bye. I had to use Carson Palmer. I'm surprised we're not getting more Carson Palmer questions. I guess for a lot of people, who's more of the quarterback two and not the quarterback one.
Yeah. I was, the first thing I was thinking coming into today was Carson Palmer's gonna be the biggest topic of talking today, but you know, I guess not. I guess people kind of knew. Yeah. Drop him and pick someone else. I mean, when you tell you're selling you out for the year, there's really not much to go with it. You're done. So you just gotta, depend on what your waiver wire looks like, just gotta work it from there.
All right, back to Chris's question. Which one of these three quarterbacks would you pick up? Josh McCown, Austin Davis, or Kyle Orton? Oh boy.
Yeah, that is slim pickings to say the least. Austin Davis is not playing like he was in the beginning of the year, so I'm scratching him. Now, Josh McCown had a decent game this past week. I guess I go Kyle Orton. It's really a coin flip because you're going to be in a real tough predicament. I guess I'll go Kyle Orton.
The Buffalo Bills play the Miami Dolphins in Week 11. Week 12, they play the Jets. Then they got Cleveland, then they got Denver.
Yeah, so you got a couple games that you should have the ability to throw, and a couple games like with the Denver Broncos where you're going to be throwing no matter what. So Kyle Orton's got to be the guy to those three options.
In a different league, he also received a trade. He would get Peyton Manning, A.J. Green, and Andre Johnson. Wow. Mm-hmm. He would give up Mark Sanchez, Brandon Marshall, Adrian Peterson, and Owen Daniels. So he's getting A.J. Green and Andre Johnson plus Peyton Manning. He's giving up Mark Sanchez, a mystery player in Adrian Peterson, and Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, a guy who's hurt right now. We don't know what we're getting out of him. So
I think I'm doing that trade.
Yeah, replacing Brandon Marshall with an A.J. Green who's coming back from injury and looking stronger. Replacing Mark Sanchez with Peyton Manning is a no-brainer. And Andre Johnson over a questionable Adrian Peterson and Noah Daniels who's, okay. Up and down a little bit here and there. Not a bad pickup, but he's a tight end, so it's not like he's hurting you really anyway. I mean, this is, I think, a no-brainer. I think you get a chance to pick up Peyton Manning and A.J. Green for giving up virtually peanuts. I don't see why you won't do that.
All right, we got about 15 minutes left in today's show. We have a couple options. We can play the over, under, or on the money game, which is always fun. Kevin, you can join in on that. We can go over our primetime pick'em from week 10, which we should do. We should update everyone on the standings and go over some of our picks. Or we can just help out our producer, Kevin Collins, with his fantasy team because he's always good for a couple questions every show. So it's Kevin, since it was your birthday, it'll be up to you.
I'm all ready to go, baby.
Now, we were broadcasting live last Thursday. All three of us, I believe, picked the Bengals.
We all picked. Actually, we had the same picks across the board. We all went home teams: Cincinnati, Green Bay, Philadelphia. Everybody ended 2-1 last week, so no movement really. Bill, you're still one game ahead of Kevin. You got 15 wins. Kevin's got 14, and I have 12. So hopefully this week we got a little bit of a mix-up coming.
So, Kev, about the Browns.
Yep.
I remember you said if you were getting the points, you would definitely take the Browns. You have this funny feeling. I certainly remember that. That could have been the tie. That could have been you tying me for the year. That was your chance. That was your opportunity. So we're all 2-1. I mean, if you think about it, all these primetime games this week, they were all blowouts. The Browns blew out the Bengals. Yeah. I was. We have to, like, so for this week, and it doesn't have to go to the overall standings, but this past week, we all had the same picks. We were all 2-1. So I think there should be some kind of tiebreaker where at the end of the season, if any one of us had the same record, we can go to this tiebreaker and say, all right, well, in week 10, I said the over-under was going to be 56, and they scored 57. Everyone else had 54 and 53. You know, that's the tiebreaker. So it's not a week tiebreaker, a weekly tiebreaker, but more of a overall season tiebreaker, something that we can go back and look at. It could be the Monday night points. It could be we all pick a player and say who's going to have the most fantasy points in this game, non-quarterback. That could be something fun. We have a lot of different options. I mean, we can take a vote. We can take some suggestions from the emailers, some suggestions from the people calling in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, you gotta get me in that next year.
Nice.
There you go. Nice. I mean, listen, if you want to do that, we can certainly do that. Right, right.
Yeah.
I just think that could just be, you know, if you were telling me, I'm not saying this is the case, but if you were saying, oh, the Packers are given 6 points, well, I think we all still would have taken the Packers. Yeah. Hmm. Right. That's true. All right, so we're all relatively close. I mean, Anthony's within 3 games.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Hmm. listen, buddy, you're in first place. Don't mess with a good thing. Hey, you're with me on that one, right, Ant?
100%.
Yeah, I can't make that move, dude. I don't even think it's worth it. I think you should just stick with your guys.
I would definitely stick with what you got.
Yeah. Right. No. I think you have to play Antonio Brown. You have to keep Antonio Brown in your lineup. Right. I wouldn't focus on next year only because you have the best team this year. Just focus on this year. Don't worry about next year's keepers when you're in first place. Now, if you're in last place, it's a different story. But you're in first, dude. First place. Yeah, I wouldn't, though. What you should be doing, and this is great advice for anyone that's about to make the playoffs or locking up trying to lock up a bye week, and it's something that I forget who it was and that emailed in. You really should be looking ahead. You know what? That's what we'll do on Thursday. We'll have a segment on Thursday. We'll go through the top five schedules for quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and even defenses. And we'll say these guys have the toughest, top five easiest schedules, bottom five toughest schedules. How about that?
Yeah,
is that a good segment for Thursday?
Yeah, it sounds
good. I'll put that together tomorrow. I'll probably turn it into an article. I'll post it on the site, and we'll also do it on Thursday.
Right,
I think that's
good.
A good idea because, Kev, when you're in that position, and just because you're 9-1 doesn't mean you still don't need help, but you just need help in a different area.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about trading a tight end or a wide receiver, start looking at your defenses.
Yeah.
Start looking at a backup tight end, who do you want? Start looking at making sure you have all the right handcuffs. Make sure you have all the right quarterbacks in. So that's something that we'll do on Thursday. I'll put out the article tomorrow on ffchamps.com. I think that'll help a lot of people.
I think that's a good idea, Bill. And in general, you just touched on defenses real quick. In general, you know, I'm not going to mess with what's got me to this point at 10-0.
Yeah.
But in general, I've been really not starting like the same defense every week. I've been sort of just plugging and playing.
That's all right.
Which has served me pretty well. Like, I just basically, the waiver wire goes through and I look and I see, all right, you know, who do I think could be a sleeper? Who do I think could grind me out 5 or 8 points, which is basically all I've needed. And then anything more than that is gravy, you know? You just don't want to be taking -4. That's the only thing.
I mean, for a while there, Cam Newton looked like he was going to finish with negative points on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton, good Lord. I mean, I played against Andy Dalton this week, and it was awesome. I think he had -3 in the league that I was playing him against.
Anthony, in the league that you had the best record in, who's your quarterback?
My quarterback, well, Tony Romo was my man. I picked up Ben Roethlisberger for the last couple weeks.
Nice.
But I'm going back to big Tony Romo down in Big D for the rest of the year, I think. Looks solid. I'm going to keep Ben Roethlisberger.
Have a bye this week.
He does. So I'm going to use Ben Roethlisberger against Tennessee on Monday night and drop him. If RG3 sitting around, I might pick him up as a backup over Big Ben just the rest of the way in case something happens. But Tony Romo, he's been solid since those first 3-4 weeks when he didn't look too good and people were on big panic mode on him.
Yeah, see, I loved Tony Romo is going to make that top five schedule. Top five he's scheduled.
He has to. I mean, you got the Giants, who's going to give up points. And again, like you said, division games, you never know. But in the NFC East, it's points scored every time. The Giants and the Cowboys is always, what, 34, 31, 37, 34. So that's going to be
points.
And
he plays the Eagles twice.
Eagles twice.
And so, Chicago. And got ripped. And the Colts.
That bodes well for me for the playoffs, having Romo.
Listen, I mean, Tony Romo, Dez Bryant looked like an animal. You know, it's funny, Ant. Who were we banging on in the first round if you had a mid-round pick? Banging on Dez Bryant, banging on Demaryius Thomas. We said avoid the running backs. We're not in love with guys. Eddie Lacy's playing fine, but we weren't crazy about drafting.
He still hasn't been great, though. I mean,
no, right. No, that's what I'm saying. We, in the preseason, we were saying go after Demaryius Thomas if you have the fifth pick.
Yeah.
Take Dez Bryant if you have the sixth pick. Grab Calvin Johnson. He's going to be fine
the rest
of the way.
Dez Bryant's been great. I have him in one league. He's been outstanding.
We weren't crazy about a lot of these running backs that people are complaining about. Now, LeSean McCoy, you can't blame McCoy. He was the number one pick for everybody. I don't care if you were listening to radio in Rochester, New York, Walla Walla, Washington. If they had a fantasy segment on in the preseason, they have LeSean McCoy as the number one
hometown
pick.
Hometown of my boyhood idol, by the way. Walla
Who?
Walla. Drew Bledsoe.
Walla Walla?
Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, okay.
It's my boy.
Jamal Charles, top three pick, is playing that way. Marshawn Lynch, top five pick, playing that way. You have guys like Le'Veon Bell, Aaron Foster, Andre Ellington. You were getting him in the third round. Justin Forsett, Ahmad Bradshaw, they're pickups.
Yeah. I did great with Bradshaw. It's been a great pickup.
I mean, Denard Robinson is a top 10 back the last 4 weeks of the season. No one drafted him.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, you know what, Kevin, to your point where you're saying this guy kind of wants Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he really wants Antonio Brown.
To use as a keeper? Well, that's just proven that you're 10-0 and you can keep Antonio Brown and Andre Ellington and
have two guys that
are going to be first-round picks next year.
But I have this cynical way of thinking, Ant, where it's like maybe I could just absolutely fleece this guy. You know, if he really wants him that bad, you know.
I
don't know. That's just my way of thinking.
I don't think he has enough for you to give up to you. I mean, if you're giving
like,
up
he's
Antonio
not gonna,
Brown.
He's not going to give up Luck. But
and that's
like,
the only person I'd really
but
want
But if I propose,
squad.
Like, this ridiculous trade of, like, I don't know, like, Foster, Alshon Jeffrey, and another good guy, you know.
Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, who do I start this week?
Yeah, it's true.
Sometimes less is more.
That's true.
Yeah,
I just have, and I have, like I said, I have a good team that's deep, that's built to withstand, you know, bye weeks and dings and dents, which is why I think I'm 10-0. You know?
Only one more week of bye weeks, right?
I think so.
Well, you got this week, and then you got Pittsburgh and, was it Tennessee or
next week.
Carolina? Yeah, next week. So, yeah, a couple, six more teams total.
Yeah. Nice.
But we're through the worst of it, where it's like, all right, you get six teams or whatever, what ridiculous number.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Four on bye this week, not two. I mean, no one that's really going to stand out and say, oh, man, I can't make it. Dez Bryant's a kind of a big hit for some
No,
people.
And I mean, for those of us that suffered through having, you know, the Colts and the Patriots on the bye last week, they're not only back, but they're playing each other, and I think there's going to be a ton of fantasy points to go around in that game.
It's going to be huge.
You know, you're playing in a contained environment. You know, it's going to be a track meet. I think you're going to see a ton of points. I think you could very easily see, you know, both teams score, like, you know, 30, 35-plus points.
Wouldn't be shocked at all.
Flex scheduling's in play now, right?
I believe so. Week 11
for the Sunday
like
night
that.
Game.
Yeah,
that's
The Pats game Sunday night this week.
That's definitely staying.
Yeah, that's not moving.
That's not going
week
anywhere.
12 is Giants and Cowboys. I don't think that stays.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't
because
know.
Because those
I mean,
are, but those are huge markets, though, Bill. You know.
Yeah,
too.
I understand, but
and the Cowboys are good this year, and I don't know.
But, I mean, if you look at the schedule week 12, who else can you really put in there?
Broncos, Dolphins.
Yeah, but also take into account, guys.
Cardinals, Seahawks.
But also take into account that some of those games are protected. You know how the networks get to protect like four or five games or whatever it is? So those games, some of those games can't be flexed.
Lions, Pats, Cardinals, Seahawks, Dolphins, Broncos, all three better games than
Lions,
Cowboys,
Pats
Giants.
Is a good game. I think it's going to be a real good game.
Yeah, it definitely will. I mean, if Carson Palmer's playing for Arizona, I'm definitely saying Arizona and Seattle over that. But with Drew Stanton, it just takes a little bit of the luster off of it. If he looks good this week, then totally in with I think Arizona-Seattle should be the game at that point. But without Carson Palmer, it just kind of loses a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited for that Lions game. I mean, I'm more excited for this Indy game, but I'm going to be – it's great because you got Indy, and then you got the Lions, and then you got the Packers, and then you got four great games or four great opponents the Patriots are playing the next month.
Good.
Yeah.
So and all good from, you know, enjoying football perspective, but also from fantasy perspective, like all huge games.
All right, what do you say we put a bow on this show?
Yeah, it's like the coconut banger's ball. It's a wrap.
Any closing thoughts for you from you guys, Kevin?
No, I just thank you for the help. I had a lot of fun chatting with you guys the last 10 minutes.
Anthony, what do you got?
You know, one thing about Zach Ertz, because everyone's hating on him.
Yeah, he's driving nuts.
And he's killing people. So, look, the last 2 weeks, virtually the two full weeks that Mark Sanchez has started, Ertz has been on the field for 40% of total snaps. Celek 67. Celek's got twice as many targets, three times as many catches, and six times as many yards.
He also got hurt last night, I think.
He did, but he's probably still going to get more looks than Ertz next week, even on the IR, so it doesn't even matter.
So you're telling me I should get rid of the Ertz?
I'm going to drop him this week myself, so I have nothing against that at all.
That was a Bill Enright steal, you know, steal of the draft. And
I loved him this year, too. I was expecting big things, but just not that guy.
All right, gentlemen, we got to take off for the 48 hours. We'll be back on Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Patriots.com Radio. You can always hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps, at Bill Enright, at the PPR Monster, at PatsRadio underscore Kevin. Thank you again to all our military men and women who serve our proud country. Happy Veterans Day to all of our service members. Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Champs. We'll be back on Thursday. Take care and have fun.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.